God, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity you are giving to us to be in your presence again this evening. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Thank you for those great things you've done in our families, in our homes, and even those testimonies that we didn't share. Father, be glorified in Jesus' name. Lord, tonight, as we look at your word, I pray that your spirit will minister to us and you will bring peace to every tempest, to every storm in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because you have answered our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Brethren, please confirm if you could hear my voice.
Amen.
Yes, Pastor.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. By the grace of God, this evening, brethren, before we pray, we'll consider this exhortation, finding peace in a tempestuous world. Finding peace in a tempestuous world. Let's take a reading from the book of Psalm 107. Psalm 107 from verse 25 to verse 30. But I would like to take it from verse 30, from verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They put up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I pray that the Lord will bring us from any form of storm into our desired haven in Jesus' name. This passage we have read is themed the deliverance from storms. Like if you look at the book of Psalm 107, the portion we have just read is titled that way. And we see in this passage, the psalmist trying to let us see and trying to explain to us what storm or storms, what they look like. And there are some key points that we could see from the passage that we have read today. One of them is that storms are perilous in nature. They are perilous in nature. Like if you look at the passage, you see from verse 26, it said they mount up to the heaven. It's trying to explain the impact of storm to those or on those who sail on the sea. He said they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble, telling us that storms are perilous in nature. Another thing we could see from the passage is that storms destabilize. It destabilizes. Now he says that they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. It destabilizes them. Another thing you could see from there is that human skills of navigation are ineffective in the face of storm. Now, look at it in verse 27. It said, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. At their wit's end, which means it drives them out of control. Or, you know, after using all their wisdom, all their knowledge to control the situation, then they get to their wit's end. It get them exhausted. So storms of life, you know, cannot be controlled by human skills or human navigating skill. Another thing we could see from that passage is that storm has the power of draining a person of all power, you know, of the brain. And then you see, as we see in the passage, it said they stagger like a drunken man. It gets their brain exhausted. The sailor cannot navigate anymore. He lost control of the ship and they stagger like a drunken man. This tells us about the impact of storm. And there's one thing I want you to know or note in the passage we have read. Let's look at it together from verse 28. He said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired heaven. This is telling us that only divine authority and divine intervention can calm the storms of life. But there's one point we need to note before we proceed. And it is in verse 30, he said, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired heaven, desired destination, desired goal, desired objective. It then means that without divine intervention, they could suffer a delay. Storms of life or meteorological storm could cause a delay. It could also terminate a journey. You know, it could make a person not to reach the desired heaven, desired destination. Brethren, we live in a world that is fraught with turmoil and a lot of uncertainties, you know, complex relationship, unforeseen crisis, but there's a hope that we find, you know, from the passage we have read today. And that hope is that there is a glimmer of hope. That's the assurance that God is with us, ready to rescue us and provide peace amidst of chaos. I pray that wherever you are, whatever situation you are in that looks like storms of life, the Lord will bring you out of it into your desired heaven in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at it in some parts. Number one, the reality of storms. Reality of storms. Brethren, a storm or tempest, another word for storm is tempest, or another word for tempest is storm. A tempest is an extensive current of wind rushing with great velocity and violence. And tempests or storms, you know, in our life, they represent affliction, calamity, distress, adversity. And let's look at storm in the meteorological sense of it. In meteorology, which is the scientific study of the atmosphere, storm is just a different kind of breeze. So if you put wind in spectrum, you have the first part, you know, the first you see in the spectrum is breeze, which is just a light wind, usually refreshing and gentle in nature. And then the next in the spectrum is called gale. And what is a gale? A gale is a strong wind, typically with sustained speed between 63 kilometers per hour to 87 kilometers per hour. So those two drive, we understand, you know, that kind of speed. But the next level in the wind spectrum is called storm, which we could also call a tempest. And that one is a violent wind characterized by strong gusts. And the speed of that one is between 88 kilometers per hour to 160 kilometers per hour. Now imagine someone inside that kind of turbulence, someone sailing on the sea and the ship, and the ship is experiencing opposition, violent opposition at the speed or the current of 88 kilometers per hour through to 160 kilometers per hour, telling us that it could result in a devastating, you know, hand. It could cause great disaster. It could lead to, you know, a heaven that is not a desired one. I pray that in our life, whatever represents storm, the Lord will bring calmness to it in Jesus' name. Now, that is meteorology. Now, metaphorically, there are situations in our lives that, you know, we could call them storms. For instance, sickness or diseases. A sickness that is not just a headache or just a stomach ache, a little one, but the one that is coming violently with the capacity and power to kill, to destroy, to terminate, to delay, to make that person, you know, not to get to his desired heaven. That could be called a storm in a metaphorical sense of it. Another thing is family issues could be, you know, could come as a storm. Something that is beyond a short disagreement between husband and wife, but going to a violent, you know, one of separating husband and wife, a long-standing issue that is not resolved, And then it's becoming something else, leading to divorce or almost divorce. That issue, metaphorically, could be called a storm. Financial issue could be a storm. Something that is beyond a lack for a day or lack for 2 days, you know, going into abject poverty, not able to put food on the table, sustained over a period of time, metaphorically, that could be termed a storm. Academic issues, not able to succeed, you know, trying everything but not getting it right. Failure upon failure being experienced and coming, you know, violently exhausting the person's, you know, ability to study, person's ability to comprehend, and going, you know, beyond what we expect. That could be metaphorically termed also a storm. Famine or lack also could be called a storm. Storms of war, you know, coming, you know, unexpectedly, killing, destroying, causing fear, just like you see those sailing on the ship that we just read about, you know, the situation tossing them up and down, causing distresses, you know, that also could be termed or called a storm. Intense depression, you know, to the extent one is not able to manage anything, not able to think anything, not able to do anything. The person is just redundant there, sustained over a period of time, you know, with the ability of, you know, killing or even destroying that person. That also metaphorically could be called a storm. Joblessness, you know, that, you know, the joblessness is just there. The person is not able to do anything. You know, it's just sustained for a period of time, and it is affecting everything, affecting the family, affecting the person's health, affecting, you know, even causing sickness because the person could not eat well, and then causing depression, causing, you know, the person to do even wrong things. That also could be called a storm. Losses, you know, could be called a storm. And it could also manifest as a long delay, you know, in achieving a particular thing. My prayer is that whatever storm is in our lives, God Almighty will bring solution to it in Jesus' name. Storms, whether meteorological or metaphorical, are not discriminatory. This is talking about reality of storm. They are not discriminatory. It could affect an individual. It could also affect a community. Even anointed men of God could suffer a storm. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Let's take some verses there from verse 14. Acts chapter 27 from verse 14. This is Apostle Paul, you know, going through a storm in this passage that we're about to read. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her dry. They just allow, you know, the ship to dry. They have lost control. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they are taken up, they used herbs. And under guiding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. See, look at the losses. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Now you see here, Apostle Paul, anointed man of God, he was in prison. And then here he was to be transported to Rome. And while he was on the way, he suffered shipwreck. In fact, he suffered tempest. He went through a serious storm. Those who were there in the ship, many of them were unbelievers, and Paul the apostle, being an anointed apostle, he suffered tempest, he suffered storm. Telling us that storms, they are not discriminatory. A believer could go through storm. An unbeliever also could go through storm. But whichever one you go through as a believer, we have hope that God can save and deliver us. Let's also look at Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 1. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. I want to read verse 4. He said, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the weirs that were in the ship into the sea to lighten each of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now you see Jonah here, he went through a tempest. Also, those in the ship also, they went through a tempest, telling us that storms, tempests, they are not discriminating. Can't put anyone. Also, our Lord Jesus Christ, he went through tempest. Let's open our Bibles and see the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's read some verses here. Matthew 8, I want to read from verse 23. Matthew 8, from verse 23. "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest." See the word again. "A great tempest in the sea, in so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he said unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the bright and the morning star, you know, the third person, the second person in the Trinity, he also went through storm. So storms are not discriminatory. As a man of God, you could go through tempest. As a child of God, you could go through tempest. As an unbeliever, tempest also could come. So they are not discriminatory. Let's also read the book of Judah. Sorry, the book of 1 Samuel to see, you know, how Judah and the Philistines also, they went through tempest. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's look at it together. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to read verse 1, verse 14, and verse 16. Verse 1. "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." Now let's see verse 14. Verse 14. "We made an invasion upon the south of the Keretites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Now look at verse 16. Verse 16, it says, "And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistine and out of the land of Judah." Now what happened here is, David and his men, they were not available. They were not around in Ziklag. And there came these people, you know, the Amalekite, to fight and to invade some part of the land of the Philistine and some part of Judah. When they came, remember that Judah, you know, belonged to Israel. And, you know, we could say that these are the people of the Lord. And the Philistines, you know, they are not part of the Jews. You know, we could say they are unbelievers. But when there was an invasion, a war, it happened to both the Israelites and also the Philistines at the same time. Storms are not discriminatory, but we have a hope. We have an assurance that when we go through storms, or when we go through tempest, or if we face tempest, that God is there to help us, to save us, to deliver us. And I pray we deliver us in Jesus' name. Let's go to the second part before we pray. We'll consider remediation of storms. Now, if as a believer you are already going through a situation that metaphorically we could call it a storm, or if you know you are not going through storm at the moment, but in future if something like that happens, What can you do? How can you remedy the situation? And if at the moment you are also going through a storm, what can you do to ensure that you are not the one who bring by yourself storm into your lives? And what can you do, you know, to find peace when there are storms and tempests in the environment you find yourself? One thing we need to note is that storms are real, but every storm in the Bible came to an end. Those storms we read about, you know, in the book of Jonah, and also in Matthew, the Bible tells us it came to an end. Whatever storm you are going through as a believer, it will surely come to an end. But there's something that is very important, and that is our attitude. There were three notable people in the scriptures who went through storm. Three notable persons. Number one is Jonah, and number two, Jesus, and number three is Paul the Apostle. They overcame the storm differently. Now, Jonah threw himself overboard. He himself jumped out. He allowed himself to be picked and thrown into the storm. That should not be our attitude as a believer. You must not contemplate suicide. You must not decide to take decision that will kill you, that will destroy you or destroy others when you go through storms of life. Jesus Christ, you know, approach it in a different way. The Bible tells us he spoke to the storm and the storm ceased. Apostle Paul approached it differently. After a series of events that took place and the assurance that the Holy Spirit gave him while he was in the ship and while he was in the storm, eventually, Paul had an opportunity to survive by swimming to shore. Our attitude matters. If we are going to come out of storm or if the storm of life will overcome us. I pray storms of life will not overcome us in Jesus' name. To remedy storm, there are things that we need to do. Number one, let's open our Bibles back to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, let's see something that God has for us there. The book of Jonah, I want to read chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. For the Lord sent out a mighty wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah was the cause of the storm he faced, telling us that, you know, sin will bring storms into our lives. If we, you know, are living a life of sin, life of immorality, life of lying, deception, arrogance, disobedience to the word of God, if we live like that, we will be the one to pay fare and enter into the ship that will sail in the direction of storm by ourselves. So the Lord is telling us that we must not be the one that caused the storm. And if there's any decision we have taken, any path we have followed that have actually brought storm into our lives, the Lord is calling us to repentance. Look into your life. The storms of life that you are facing, those intense sicknesses and diseases, tough challenges, unexplainable, with high current, almost strangling life out of your life, you know, that you are going through. Ask yourself, what is the sin that you are committing? Are you committing fornication and you are coming to church? Are you committing adultery and you are coming to church? Are you the one watching pornography and you are coming to church? Are you the one doing God's work and you are full of arrogance, disobedience, and all kinds of unrighteousness? You may be the one importing storm into your own life. So one thing we have to consider to remedy storm is repentance. Repent of all known sins. Another thing we need to do is to inquire. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I will read from verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Then there was a famine, and metaphorically, like said before, that one of the things that we could call storms in our life metaphorically is famine. Now, he said, then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." You see, the Israelites here, they were going through a period of intense famine. There was no food. Things were tough. Things were rough. Things were totally upside down. And David, being the king, was wondering, what is happening? What is the issue? Instead of jumping at the issue and trying to provide a solution to it, the Bible tells us David inquired. David asked the Lord. The situation we go through sometimes in our life, we jump to prayer and we are calling upon God and we are binding and we are losing. And it may be that it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slain the Gibeonites. Inquire, ask the Lord, "Lord, what am I going through this thing that I'm going through? What is going through? What is happening in my life?" Discuss with God as friend and ask God, "What is happening in my life? What am I going?" Don't go to a prophet to tell you what you are going through. Don't go to any herbalist to tell you what you are going through. Don't use horoscope, but come to God, come to Christ, like David did. David asked the Lord, and the Lord told him, "It is for Saul and his bloody house because he's slain the Gibeonite." Maybe the challenge, the situation is because of a restitution that you have not done, or because of a disobedience in the family, or because of a secret sin unconfessed. The Lord will reveal, and it will bring calmness to the storm. Let's see again another account in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, we read it before. Let's read it more. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, from verse 6 to verse 8. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." This was after, the Amalekites, they have invaded Ziklag, and they have taken David's wife and the wives of his men and their children. They have taken them away. David was distressed. And what did David do? He did not stand up and start running after those people in the direction they went. He went to the Lord and he asked. Look at verse 7. "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Now you see how David solved the problem, how he brought the calmness to the storm. He inquired. And the Lord is encouraging us, that situation, that stormy situation, before you start to bind and loose, inquire, ask the Lord. And the Lord will give us victory in Jesus' name. As we see storms and tempests in the world, and things are upside down, there is fear everywhere. Maybe there will be war, maybe there will be third world war, maybe there will be so whatever. As we look at news, and then they bring fear to us, or we look at our life, and there are challenges, either it is meteorological storm or it is metaphorical storm. What does God want us to do? Meditate on God's promises. Meditate on God's promises. Let's see some of the promises we should meditate on in the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Isaiah 25, let's open it. Open your Bible. I hope you are doing so. Isaiah chapter 25, let's read verse 4. Isaiah 25, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy." Maybe the storm is bringing poverty, is poverty to you. Or it is that you are like the needy. You are not able to sustain yourself with what you have. He said, "A strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm." This is what God can do. A shadow from the east. When the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall, no matter how noisy, how distressful, how much destruction the situation is bringing, meditate on God's word, because it can bring calm. Let's also read the book of Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Nahum, before that, let's read Isaiah 43, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43, let's read verse 2. Meditate on the promises of God. Look at the promise of God for you, verse 2 of Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord is saying, you may go through the storm, or the storm is against you, but as you go through, I will be with you. My presence will be with you, and it will not destroy you. The situation will not kill you. It will not bring end to your life. Let's read also Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. The book of Nahum chapter 1, let's read verse number 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord is great in power. And will not at all acquit the wicked. But look at what the Lord has to say. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now, take note of the point. Where we say the Lord has his way in the whirlwind, in the storm, which means no matter how tempestuous the situation is, causing noises, distress, destruction, and things are totally upside down, and nobody's able to help, in that whirlwind, in that storm, the Lord can penetrate. No matter the speed and the current of the wave, the Lord can penetrate. Look at it again, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and in the clouds, and the dust of and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He has his way in the whirlwind, in the storm. He can penetrate. He can solve that issue. He can bring solution to it. One other thing we must take note of is entreaty. Entreaty. Prayer. Let's look at it in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Let's look at it in verse 25 to verse 30. He said, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. All their resources exhausted. Verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Even though you may have suffered delay because of the storm, but when you pray, the Lord can bring you to your desired heaven. That is entreaty. That is prayer. Another thing very important that we need to take note of, if as we desire peace, as we desire to find peace in a tempestuous world, is discernment. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Let's see some wisdom from this passage. Acts chapter 27. I want to read from verse 9. Acts 27 from verse 9. Verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And then eventually the storm came. Now look at verse 23 to verse 25. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And look, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I want you to look at this from the perspective, from not from the angle of Paul, but those who traveled the other people who were who I mean, let's look at it. For all of them that were traveling, Apostle Paul discovered that this voyage will be with great hurt, and he discerned early. After discerning, he told the sailor and explained that we will suffer damage to the ship, ourselves, and everything in the ship. But they did not listen. And because they did not listen, eventually they went into the storm and there was a lot of damage. Now, Apostle Paul here did not have any say because he was actually a prisoner. But the learning we can learn from here is that as believers, there are some storms that we go into. And these storms are not Lego storms that should actually come to us. But because of who we journey with, who we partner with, and because we partner with people that that will not listen to us, or with people that would not want to hear our own say, because of that, they made wrong decision that would lead us in the direction of storm. This can happen in family, that the man is in this direction and the woman is in another direction, and wrong decisions will lead the family into storm. And that's also a learning for those of us, that have not, married, that as you want to journey, in the sea of marriage, make sure that you don't journey with unbelievers. Make sure you don't journey with people that will travel in the direction of storm when you are actually hiding your own safe haven. It will lead to disaster. For Apostle Paul, he had no say because he was actually a prisoner. But we have say in some of the things that happened to us. The Lord will give us wisdom and help us in Jesus' name. Let's also look at the case of Jonah. Jonah and the people that travel with Jonah. If you look at the people that travel with Jonah, they went through that storm, not a legal storm for them. They went through that storm because of who they journey with. They journey with a man who is against the will and the purpose of God. And because they journey with that man, they went through storm. So as we make decision, to go into business, as we make decision in our homes, in our families, as we make decision to partner with people, brother, sister, don't journey with a person that will lead you in the direction of storm. Journey with people that will lead you, in direction towards your safe haven. The Lord will give us that discernment, that wisdom in Jesus' name. Another, lesson about discernment. We can see that, from the case of David. The Bible tells us of David in the account of the Ziklag we read. If you look at chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, and you look at verse 1 and 2, what actually happened was David sought refuge, in the land of the Philistine, and he was given Ziklag to stay. And then there was going to be war between the Philistines and the Israelites. And David joined himself with the Philistine to fight against the Israelites. And while he was on that journey, some of the Philistines felt like, you cannot, why will you come and join us? And then you can go and fight your own people. When you get there, are you not going to turn against us? And because of that, David was sent away. Now, it was 3 days after he left that camp and came to Ziklag. By the time he got to Ziklag, Ziklag had been invaded, his sons, his children, and wives of his and of his men have been taken away. Now look at it. If David was to be in Ziklag when the storm came, maybe he would have salvaged the situation. But because he partnered with some people, he made some decision. And by the time he came, things were already out of hand. The Lord is just telling us to discern. As you journey with believers, journey with Christians, journey with people that will help you to make decision that will lead you into the direction of your safe haven. The Lord will give us wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. One other thing is dependence, dependence. And we can see that in the account of Paul. Paul the apostle said that, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, has told me that, I have given you those that are in the ship, and then there will be safety. And because it depended on God, eventually he went to safety. The Lord will bring us to safety in Jesus' name. Finally, before we pray, let's look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse. We are going to read from verse 1. Please, if you are there, let's all open our Bibles. Let's open our Bible and follow as we read this passage. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the hurt be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Imagine this metaphor. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly. The Lord will come for you in that storm in Jesus' name. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the heads melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's close our eyes and present ourselves before the Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We shall not perish in the storm. I will not perish in the storm. Whatever storm you are going through, brother, sister, say it. I will not perish in the storm. I will not perish in this tempest. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Present yourself before the Lord. Tell the Lord, you know, approach the stormy situation in a better and a good way. Do not approach it like Jonah, who dived overboard, who jumped into the storm. Approach it like Christ. The Bible tells us Jesus spoke to the storm. And you see also in this passage we have read, the Bible says he uttered his voice. The earth melted. The voice of God can silence the voice of storm. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord, talk to the Lord about the situation, that metaphorical situation that represents storm in your life. Talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Is there a sin that needs to be confessed? Don't jump. You know, don't abandon it. Talk to the Lord. Present yourself before the Lord. Pastor, please, you can take over.
We want to still go before the Lord. You are telling the Lord, I will not perish in this storm. I will not perish in this storm. No matter how tempestuous the storm is, I will not perish in this storm. Father, in the Jesus. You want to tell the Lord, Lord, I will not perish in this storm. The Lord will come through for you in the name of Jesus. We are asking the Lord this one word, that Lord, I will not perish in this storm. But forget about how tempestuous it is. Forget about how raging it may be. Forget about how devastating it might be. You are telling the Lord, Lord, today I will not perish in this storm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Tell the Lord, O God of Jacob, come through for me. Lord, be my safe haven. My refuge is of the Lord. We are asking the Lord this one thing, that Lord, I will not perish in this storm. In the name of Jesus, Lord, come true for your people tonight. Come true for me tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord of forces in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Brothers and sisters, there's one point in binding and loosing. There's another point in settling issues with God. Jonah, it was because of a disobedience that problem came. As a result, you almost put the entire sailors in trouble. You are going to look into your life. Just look at the storm. Just look at how you have lived your life. Have you lived your life in the will of the Lord? Is there any sin that, as a result of that, God said it is because of Saul and his bloody house? He has killed the Gibeonite. That was not the promise we had with him. Brother, you are going to look into your life. Sister, you are going to look in your life. You are not just going to bind and loose and destroy the store. When that sin is still there, the problem will persist. If that sin is unconfirmed, the problem will persist. But tonight you have another opportunity. The Lord is giving you this opportunity. We must remedy this situation. We must come with that remediation and say, oh God, we have come to the cross where there is pardon, where there is forgiveness, where there is mercy. With that mercy, oh my brother, all the binding and the loosing will come to naught. You want to come before the Lord. Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are asking the Lord, Lord, this is the moment. There must be repentance. There must be renewal. There must be restitution. There must be that righteousness in your heart. Oh, it is enough if the Lord forgive. When the Lord forgives, it can roll away that problem without even praying about it. When that sin is forgiven, when that sin is taken away, this evening you want to come before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. Maybe you have brooded over the problem. Maybe you are covering up the sin. Maybe you want to put it aside. Maybe you want to say, well, this sin I cannot deal with, I cannot repent of, I cannot part ways with. Oh, my brother, my sister, tonight you want to come before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And say, Lord, have mercy on me. It is me in the need of prayer. Not Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on me as an individual. It was until Jonah called upon the name of the Lord in the belly of the whale, that the Lord heard him. The Lord will hear you tonight. His arms are outstretched. His arms are wide stretched. He is calling on you. He said, call on me and I will hear and answer. He said, call on me. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is the time the Lord can be found. Seek the Lord, my brother. Seek the Lord, my sister. That sin will make the problem persist. Why won't you come before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me? It was for my sake that Christ died. Why won't you have mercy on me? Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. That problem of disobedience, that problem of pornography, that problem of guilt, that problem of dishonesty. Oh, my brother, you want to repent of them tonight. Repentance will bring the solution. Repentance will bring the deliverance. It is not enough to bind and to lose. The enemy will say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who art thou? Look at the weight of sin on your head. Look at the weight of guilt on your head. Oh, unless you repent, my brother, you cannot receive the promise. You must come to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy. And say, Lord, have mercy. And say, Lord, have mercy. We want to inquire of the Lord. Maybe you have looked through your life. There is no sin there. Praise God for you. Maybe you have looked through your life. By the grace of God, your conscience is clear. Your conscience does not prick you. Thank God for the sinless life, but you want to inquire, Lord, why? Lord, what is the problem? David said, bring the effort. Let us inquire of the Lord. David entreated and asked of the Lord. Why won't you ask the Lord? Lord, why this challenge? Lord, why this problem? Why is it only me? I have been seeking your faith. I have been inquiring of you. It appears things are not turning the way it will be. Oh, tonight, if only you will inquire of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. We have another opportunity. The Lord is still on the throne. The Lord is still there. He's waiting for someone to inquire. He will reveal unto you. He will reveal unto me tonight the source of the storm, the source of the tempestuous challenge. Oh, this evening, Lord, we have come. We have opening up our hearts unto thee. We opening up our soul unto you. Your word says you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. When you turn to the left, left or turn to the right. My brother, my sister, maybe that challenge is still there because you have not asked of the Lord. Maybe that pain is still there because you have not seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord tonight. Inquire of the Lord tonight. The Lord will open up. The Lord will tell it unto you. The Lord will show you. The Lord will open your eyes to see. The Lord will open your ears to hear. The Lord will open your minds to see. This evening we are asking the Lord. We have come to inquire. Yes, we will bind the loop, but you ought to know the source of the problem. You want to know the source of the storm. You have to know the source of the storm. Oh, this evening we have come. Oh Lord, here we are. Oh Lord, open our eyes. Oh Father, what is the challenge? Lord, why? We want to ask the Lord. We want to claim the promise. We want to claim the promise. He said, ask of me. He said, ask of me. And that is why tonight we want to ask in the storm in our life, in the storm in the family, in the storm in the church, in the storm in your life as an individual. Don't go out of this meeting today without knowing the soul. If only you know you are in tune with the Spirit of God, He will speak to your heart. He will speak to your mind. He will speak to your soul. He will speak to your hearing. Oh, the Lord will speak to your hearing. Open up your heart unto Him. Open up your mind unto Him tonight. Don't go away without knowing. Don't go away without hearing. It is so because of His bloody hour. The Lord revealed unto them. The Lord made known unto them. This evening we have come. We have come to inquire. Oh, there must be entreaty. We must pray on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, great peace are for they who love the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace, great peace, great peace. Jesus spoke to the storm. Tonight you want to speak to your storm. You want to speak to that storm. Jesus said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. There will be a great calm in your life. There will be a great calm in my life. Maybe we have not prayed enough. Maybe we have not prayed at all. Maybe we have just abandoned. Well, this is my faith. Well, this is how I will be. Well, this is the challenge in my home. It began from my parents, and now I am in there. Oh, my brother, prayer can turn things around. Prayer can turn things around. Prayer can turn things around. The people that seek the Lord, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Oh, tonight, Lord, we have come. We are tired, oh God, of these storms in our life, raging our family, ravaging the chair, ravaging our life. Tonight we have come. Your word says we should call on you. Your word says we should petition thee, and you will hear. Your word says, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I pray tonight, in the rock that is higher than I, in the storm that we may be facing, in my family, oh God, in the church, oh God, we pray that tonight you will open the heaven. You will open the heaven. Let the power of the Almighty, let the power of the living God roll away every storm. Roll away every storm. Roll away every storm. Roll away every storm. In the name of Jesus. One thing the man of God said, every storm that happened in the Bible, every storm had an end. Why are you permitting your own storm to not have an end? Why are you allowing your own storm to not have an end? Tonight there must be an end. There must be a termination of your storm. There must be a termination of your storm. Cry out unto the Lord and say, oh God, why is it that my own permit, my own application, my own family, there has been no end? Oh, tonight, that permit must be released. That funding must be released. That child must be released. That sickness must be gone. Tonight the Lord can do it. The Lord can do it. Every storm must have an end. There must be a termination date, O Lord, of your storm tonight. Cry out unto the Lord and say, God, let my storm come to an end. Let my storm come to an end. Brother and sister, we must discern. We must discern. If there's one thing I wrote down, who are you journeying with? Who is there in the journey with you? Who are you journeying with? Oh, Paul told the people, I heard the voice of the angel tell me that these people be killed, but the people did not hear. In the marriage there, are you seeing eye to eye with one another before you enter into that marriage? Are you seeing eye to eye with one another? Be not unequally yoked. Look at your friend. Are your friend people that will call you to prayer? Are your friend people that will bring you closer unto the Lord? Maybe that is why the storm is frustrated. Maybe what that is why the storm is still there. Tonight you want to come before the Lord and say, Lord, any association, any friendship, any companionship that is not in the will of God, that is not in line with your will, oh Father, tonight remove them from my life, take them away from my life, remove them from my life, blew them out of my life, take them away from my life, in the name of Jesus. Brother, you have a responsibility. Oh, you must part ways with them. You must terminate every such friendship. You must discern. Maybe the Lord is warning you, don't go that direction, don't go that place, don't go there. You still, I will go. You said, I will go. My brother, discern. My brother, depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. And tonight, whatever the storm, however magnified it may be, however gigantuan it may be, however magnificent it may be, every storm will bow, every storm will fall, every storm will come crashing, every storm will come crashing, in the name of Jesus. Oh, you want to yield to the Lord, yield to the Lord's sovereignty. God knows why. God knows all things. He said, I will do exceeding abundantly above. Don't tear yourself together. Don't tear yourself apart. You want to yield to the Lord's sovereignty and say, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in my family. It doesn't matter what others are saying. Lord, your will is what I desire. Your will is what I seek for. Your will is what I want done in my life. Oh, Lord, your will in my life, your will in my family, in the name of Jesus. No matter how stressing this storm may be, no matter how tempestuous this storm may be, Lord, let your will for me, your will for me to bring me to an expected end. Your will for my family to bring us to an expected. Your will for the chair to bring that one expected in. Oh Lord, do it for us tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, do it for us tonight. Lord, do it for us tonight. Lord, do it for us tonight. Great peace of all they who love the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. Tonight, the Lord will fill your heart with peace. The Lord will fill your family with peace. Oh, mark today, mark today, mark today, the first day of man, the peace of God will flow into your family. The peace of God will come into your family. There will be storm taken away tonight. There will be storm rolled away tonight. The peace of God, the peace of God, the tranquility of God, the mercies of God, the joy of the Lord will come into your family. Receive it, my brother. Receive it, my sister. Claim me tonight. Claim me tonight. Claim me tonight. Claim me tonight and say, oh God, your will for me is to bring me to an expected end. Oh God, do not leave you the same. God, do not leave you the same. God, do not leave you the same. That storm has terminated tonight. That storm has come to an end tonight. Oh Father, We know, we are confident. We are confident in your word. We are confident in your promise that every word you have said concerning our life, Lord, you will bring to pass. As your people come, Lord, seeking you, Lord, we can repent. We come turning away from wickedness. We come turning away from any such thing. Lord, we pray that you will open the windows of heaven in the mighty name of Jesus, that none of us, oh Lord, none of us will go back home with any storm threatening, with any storm still hanging around in it. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In Psalm 107, I read from verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, hallelujah, so that the waves thereof are still. He, the Lord, maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Very finally, we are going to go before the Lord. We are going to say, Lord, you make the storm a calm. We have to meditate on God's promises. What is that promise of God you are taking home tonight? You want to ask the Lord that the Lord will impress it upon your heart. He make the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. You want to meditate on this word. You want to pray it into your spirit. You want to pray it into your heart and say, Lord, no matter how the storms are raging, I have the confidence that you make the storm a calm. No matter how raging the storms are, I have the confidence that you make the storm a calm. I receive it. I believe it. I apply it, I claim it, I heed unto it, I imbibe it, I lay hold unto it. Lord, let it be done in my life. Let it be done in my life. Let it be done in my life. He maketh the storm a calm. You cannot forget this prayer. He maketh the storm a calm. He maketh the storm a calm. Every morning, he maketh the storm a calm. Every afternoon, he maketh the storm a calm. Every evening before we go to sleep, he make the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Every storm in our life, every storm in our life, Lord, make it a calm. Lord, bring calmness. Lord, bring calmness. We claim this promise. We receive this promise. We apply this promise in our life. We believe that, Lord, you have heard us. We thank you because we know, oh, tonight we will live here rejoicing. We will live here rejoicing. We bless your name, Father, for what you have done. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I want to bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord because he has done as well. Bless the name of the Lord. Oh, I believe you have been blessed. I know you have been blessed. It is good that you came. Worship the name of the Lord. Worship the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you for what you have done. We appreciate you for what you have done. We magnify you for what you have done. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Terrorist thou not that we perish? How can that lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening? A grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, of whatever it be, no water shall swallow the ship where lie the master of oceans and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace. Peace be still. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Father, we are so grateful unto you tonight. Thank you, Father, because you love us. That is why, Lord, you brought us here tonight to bless us. We thank you for your word that has come unto us. We have seen the many different storms that, Father, we go through. Storms in our lives, storms in our health, storms in our marriages, storms in our finances, storms at the place of work. But Lord, one thing we are going home today with is that you make it every storm a calm. Lord, we have come unto you tonight. Father, we are praying that every storm in the life of your people honor your promise, bring calmness to every soul tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we have made it to understand how repentance is key to the receipt of our redemption. Lord, I pray as men that has come unto you, who have known their weakness, who have known where they fell short, who have known where, Lord, they have gone astray and have come asking. Your word says that we should seek you. when you may be found. And Lord, I pray that you forgive and bring deliverance to every such individual in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have come, O Lord, today to inquire where, Father, we have missed it, where, Father, we have lived in the dark. Tonight we pray you will open our eyes, you will open our ears, you will open our mind, we will begin to hear from heaven, and we will do whatever heaven asks us to do in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have heard your promise, the grace to meditate upon them. Yes, the storm may be so high, the mountain may be so high, the river may be so boisterous. Lord, we are praying the grace to meditate daily on your word you will give unto us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have come to entreat of you. We have come to seek you, and ye shall seek the Lord. And we shall entreat upon the Lord, and he shall hear and do exceeding abundantly in our lives. Father, I pray, as we have come seeking, as we have come entreating, as we have come praying, that you take away and roll away every storm out of our lives. Lord, we pray, oh, that answered prayer, answer every one of us tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we have come, oh Lord, to ask for the spirit of discernment. We don't want to go through life without hearing from you. We don't want to go through life while we are messing our lives around and still expecting the Lord to come through for us. Lord, we pray where we have messed it, where we have joined and have affinity with people, that as a result our storm has been so magnified. Lord, we pray that from today the grace to descend and to depend on you, you will give unto us in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are omniscient. Lord, you are omnipotent. You know all things. And one thing we do not want to ever miss is your will in our life. I pray that for every single one of us, we will yield mightily to your own will in the name of Jesus. Oh, tonight, Lord, you have come here to bless us. You make the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. In the life of every one of us, let this promise be realized in our lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your servant you have used to bless us tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray that in his own life, this promise will be fulfilled in his life in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will increase him the more. More of your power, more of your strength, more of your enablement, more of your glory, more of your will he will receive in the name of Jesus. So that anytime we come back again, Lord, you will use him to bless each and every one of us. For your people that came tonight, Lord, I pray that your blessings will be multiplied in each and every one of us. We thank and we bless you, for we know you have heard and you have answered that. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.